And this time around, we have a full panel. We have three guests with us, all in the distinctive black and red Tora 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 shirts. Mike Burke, who is Tora lead, Patrick Hutchins, and Dan Reedy, who are pilots with the ACT. And we're here kind of to, first of all, let folks know you'll be flying this weekend, and also talk about the fact that Tora 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 has been around for 50 years. That is amazing. Mike, tell us a little bit about how the whole thing got started.
Well, a doctor donated, after the movie, donated four zeros of Kate Naval and the CAF to the CAF, and they really didn't have any place for them. And my father and Dan's father and Vance Giles, they were running the Gulf Coast Wing and the B-17. They decided to put an act together. So we took a couple of months to get all the airplanes from Harlingen up to Angleton. And on March of 1972 was the first practice, and myself and Dan were actually there. He was only 8 years old.
Yeah, 8 years old.
And you were seven.
Yeah. He took better care of himself.
What did that first show look like compared to what we see today?
It was at Galveston. Patrick was there. It was really funny because we didn't have good radios back then. So they said, y'all need to be over the field at 12 o'clock. Well, the introductions went a little bit long, so the national anthem was playing when we hit the field. We still laugh about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just it was a great show, though.
Yeah, just like in the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things I used to do back early on is we always stage from another airport. So it was truly a sneak attack. None of the crowd knew what was happening until we hit the field.
And true form of Tora, Tora was on time. The air show was just running late. So.
That's right. So all three of you are second-generation pilots for Tora.
That's correct. Right.
Yep. Yeah. So what airplane did your dad fly, Mike?
112.
That's one of the zeros?
Zero, 112.
Okay. And Patrick?
Yeah, Dad flew 116 in the beginning, I believe. And
right.
Then he flew 113 for a little while, and he ended up in 111. And that was his 35 years of flying Tora were spent in those three airplanes.
Amazing. Dan?
And my father started out flying 111. That was actually the first zero that showed up at Bell's Field in Angleton when they started bringing the airplanes from Harlingen. And it was definitely a movie airplane, but they took some time to get it all ready and repainted everything. And, he flew that for the time he was in flying the Tora.
Tell us a little bit about the actual modifications that have took place to the airplanes, the zeros and the dive bombers.
Well, the zero, if you look at the airplanes, they were AT-6 Harvard Mark IVs and SNJs. They put a gun deck on the front. They changed the cowl up a little bit. They put fake cowl flaps, a chin scoop on it. They put wheel fairings on the wheel legs on the landing gear. They rounded the wing tips, and they put a stinger on the rudder. And, of course, they changed the canopy up to look like a zero canopy. Now, for the Cates, that's actually two airplanes that were put together. They had a SNJ airframe, and then they put about an 8-foot plug in there right behind the rear cockpit, and which they made a third cockpit for the gunner. And then they put a BT-13 tail on it, which – and from a profile look at it from the real Cate, it's a real good simulation or similar to the real airplane. And then the valves were made out of BT-13s and 15s, and they put a dorsal fin wheel pants. They extended the they took the 985 400 horse 450 horse engine off of it and put a 600 horse 1340 on it, so it could actually get off the carrier.
There you go. How do the zero replicas fly in comparison to run-of-the-mill, if there is such a thing, T6?
Very similar. The ones with the rounded wingtips, that is all of them except one, are it's basically almost 4 foot wider wingspan. So not so quick to snap, roll, or any of that. Little bit more forgiving in a stall, just a little bit. It still does what a T6 is supposed to do.
And it's they're quite a bit lighter than a G model, up to almost 1,000 pounds lighter, because all the rear instrument panel, all the instruments, all that was taken out.
Yeah, most of the zeros, they actually had to put some lead weights in the back to help balance it, get back in CG range.
And what about the Val and the Cape? I mean, those are like completely different airplanes now.
Yeah, right? You know, and since I haven't flown one a lot, I can't tell you really what the – but how they fly similar. You know, the Cape is because I did spend a little time in a Cape, and it really didn't fly. I mean, it weathered vaned a little bit more on landing just because it's longer. A little bit more side area, when you're doing crosswind landings. But other than that, it's a little slower because it's a little heavier.
And since it's 6.5 feet longer, it sits a little shallower. You got a little better visibility over the nose than you do in the zeros.
Any challenges to keeping these airplanes maintained? I mean, aside from the normal challenges. But
labor of love comes to mind. It's
and everything keeps going up, up, and up. And Covington builds our engine for us, and they're an excellent company. And sometimes we've had an engine fail on the road, and they'll bring us one, and we stay and put it on. He's an IA, and he oversees our Dan oversees our maintenance. He's our maintenance officer, and Patrick's our admin guy. He helps pay the bills, and he and I talk about them. And we on his phone, I'm one of the most people he calls. And but we all three work together. It's but I got to give credit due. Charles Hutchins, he was a great leader, and Toro would not be what it is today without his what he's done for us.
That is true. That is true. So all three of you grew up around this air show act. Was there a point where each of you said, I want to do that, or did it just come naturally?
I think in the back of all of our minds, we knew we were going to do it. It was just, for me, it's a matter of having enough vacation. So you got to be at your job long enough to be able to go to 12 to 14 air shows a year. So so I was, I guess, 42 by the time I started, but I had been flying since I was 16. But, I kind of always thought I knew I was going to do it. But it's quite a process when you make that decision. It takes a couple of years to get into the group, fly formation with all the guys, do your required 10 ride over pyro, and let everybody realize what kind of pilot you are, because it's a whole lot of airplanes and just a little bit of airspace. And so we all trust each other a whole lot.
And I think in previous conversations, the selection process is not only your pilot skills, but also your personal skills, because you do have to be a part of the team. And
well, it's just like, I mean, you go off, there's like 20 of us here. And, we go out to dinner one night, we call it family night, and we all have to get along together. And and when we choose somebody, people don't walk up and apply. We go to them, we watch them. We see how good they do, and then we talk about them. And the choice is unanimous, has to be unanimous.
And how many new or pilots in training do you have right now?
We have three. Okay. And they'll be – we have an agreement with the FAA to do training. And the only way they can learn how to fly this act is to ride in it. So all three guys will be riding both days. And we soloed a guy a month or so ago, one of the guys, and we got two more that are getting real close.
Getting close.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned pyro. That is a major portion of the show, and it's actually three elements. It's the airplanes, it's the pyrotechnics, and the narration that goes along with it. Well, let's talk a little bit about Gordon Webb and his crew of noisemakers.
Gordon. So Gordon took the role of Toro Pyro lead after we lost Bob No Neck West, which well-known guy, gentleman in the air show industry. And so Gordon stepped up, and
he's doing a fantastic job.
He's doing a fantastic job. There are probably 60 to 70 people on the Toro Bomb Squad, and they're spread across the country. So if we're doing a show on the West Coast, he picks the people. So he's up to picking. Everybody will let him know what air shows they're available to make, and then he will make the decision who goes. He's developed some shooters in charge, so he doesn't have to do every air show. Of course, he's here. He's not going to miss Oshkosh. And so, he's done a great job. His logistics are many. And of course, that takes that off of Mike, because Mike can just concentrate on the pilots and the airplanes.
What's the farthest you've gone to an air show? Most of the airplanes are based in Texas and
I believe Anchorage, Alaska.
Yeah, let's.
The whole group, Anchorage, Alaska, probably.
It was before Dan and I were qualified, and I don't think Mike made that trip. But the guys that did, 8 airplanes, 8,000 miles round trip from Houston to Anchorage and back. They were gone 2 weeks. I did airline up there to see it, and then I rode back to Calgary in the back seat of the Kate, logging a little bit of, soul manipulator time.
Right.
T6 time. But
stick tab.
But in me and Dan's years, I'll go northwest is Seattle. Northeast is Latrobe, Pennsylvania. The furthest southeast would be Miami. That's Homestead Air Force Base. The furthest southwest is going to be Yuma. And then Latrobe. And then the farthest straight north was Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada, twice in the last 17 years.
We actually did one deep into Mexico one time, just one time.
I'll bet there's some stories that go along with that. We'll save those for the campfire.
There you go.
All right. In just the minute or so we've got left, you'll be flying Friday and Saturday, correct?
3 o'clock.
All right. And what are some of the other shows you still have this year?
Well, I think we're going to Dallas, and we're looking at going to Midland, and of course our home show is Wings Over Houston, October 9, 10, and 11, and
South Texas,
and then we got a little South Texas that we'll just take 3 or 4 airplanes down there and help out another CAF wing with their show.
Good, and with the layoff last year, bookings were a little slow, but how are things looking for next year?
Good,
looking up.
We've already got bookings for 22.
Good. Good. Excellent. Well, gentlemen, we'll look forward to seeing you in the air show on Friday and Saturday and at an air show, hopefully, in someone else's hometown along the way.
All right. Thanks, Mike, Dave.
Mike thanks Burke, for having us.
Patrick Hutchings us. And Dan Reedy.
And Bonsai.
Tora, Tora, Tora. This is EAA Radio.